Welcome to Listening Show, a show that you can listen to. I'm your host. I'm half of your host.
Well, you're the host. I'm your special guest.
Well, thanks for being special today, guest, and welcome to it. I said the right show, right?
I think so. It sounded right. I heard it, and I was like, well, if I'm hearing it, it must be the Listening Show.
You look excellent, by the way. Look at you. Just look at you.
I don't like that we can see ourselves.
Yeah. So we've got it changed to where the television's right there. Look at me. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, I changed the room a bit for the watching show, and it is more accommodating now. And remember like a month ago, or maybe a little bit more, we got the couch, and that was like a big step up. We've stepped it up again.
There were several big steps up at the time, if you know what I'm saying. We still haven't told that story.
Oh, not that it's a story worth telling, but yeah, we haven't bitched about it on the show.
Okay.
If we think we deserve the chance to bitch about it.
Yeah, so let's talk it up as much. Let's make it as
not
good
as much as possible. Not so much that it's stupid, but let's be annoying about it.
As long as it's still true.
Yeah.
You know? All right, so once upon a time, Walter and I...
That is true. It was only once.
Once upon a time, my friend Walter and I, we were deciding we got to sit down, right? So he was like, yeah, we got to sit down.
All the kids are doing it.
Hey, what did you say?
I said all the kids are doing it. What else did you... We've got to sit down.
Yeah. We just got to sit down. You said that. So when we got some baggies. We got little bags and we were sitting.
Oh, yeah. When we started the Listening Show freaking not a year ago, but it's been close to a year.
Yep.
So we have to have a place to sit for the Listening Show.
And then we tragically injured our backs a long time before that.
Oh, right. That's the pre-story that comes into play later.
The prequel
that's
was
actually
that.
Relevant. Yeah. In the prequel.
Yeah. And then the prequels, we injured our backs. So so then we got those bags, and the bags were bad for those injuries.
Really disappointing because, I mean, bean bags are great.
Yeah.
But because of our backs... Not great.
They were too bad. I actually think that they're comfortable, but
if you
can't
lay down
up,
on them,
right?
Yeah,
they're for sitting. They're for laying back and relaxing.
Yeah, but you can't sit up not like we're doing it now. But you can't sit up and speak into a microphone without any back support. You need some kind of back support,
right?
So I suggested those, or I shouldn't say suggested them. I thought of them only because they were relatively inexpensive. We weren't ready to buy like nice. Two opposite chairs, which is what we had originally planned. Like, well, bean bags are chairs and they're cheap. So, and then we got to try some at the furniture store. I'm like, oh, this is great for the 60 seconds we were on it. But if you
it was
longer
great.
Than that, it is good for 60 seconds. But
the thing about this show is that it's longer than 60 seconds. It's like many multiples of
60 seconds. I thought you meant 60 minutes.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It's a good quote.
We didn't realize that, but that's okay.
So then... there was a gunfight.
You said everything has to be true.
A little gunfight?
I can't even spin it off like a water gunfight, emoji gunfight. No, there was no gunfight.
Sword fight. Knife fight.
I wish.
Fight?
Yes. Fight? Fight?
Was there a fight?
Yeah.
What was there a fight?
It's fight of words, probably. Probably some feelings got wounded.
I don't remember when.
No, I don't think there was much of any fight.
Wasn't a fight at all. I was like, this
you
story
like
needs
you were
excitement.
Ashamed to admit at all. There was no, I was lying.
All right, so then we had always dreamed one day we'll get a very nice couch, right? And so then we went to a furniture store a while back, and we tested many couches, all of the acceptable visual ones, and then
you're
even
talking
some,
about. This couch story now, right?
We're catching up to the current day, right?
Yeah, we were looking for a couch intentionally, even though originally the plan was to get two chairs. And I think the reasoning was, it's because of this room, actually.
Yeah.
We're like, a couch would go great here when we're doing the watching show.
Not unlike what it looks like now.
Yeah, it's not that, though. This is the Listening Show. Very different.
Yeah.
This one, you can close your eyes and enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's made for that. Mm-hmm. No, and then one of the reasons you thought up was, well, if we have someone else over, they have a place to sit. Like, yeah, it's true. But mostly because of the watching show. If it was two chairs for like the Listening Show, this would be great. But we always usually face this way together, in which case a couch works. We're like, all right, sure, a couch.
Yeah.
So we went and just sat down on a bunch of couches. over the course of at least an hour. And we eventually found one that we really liked. We both were like, this is our favorite couch.
Yep.
And it was not this one.
I was like, great. What?
There it is. We thought we were going to get it. It costs as much as this one, but apparently the couch was a lie. It was fake. It wasn't a real couch.
Yep.
You couldn't buy it. But it was there with a price tag on the sales floor, but you're not allowed to buy it.
Yeah.
So
we did. We actually, to give us some credit, we created a hierarchy, right? And in the hierarchy, right, there were five couches, or
four or three.
And we had them rank ordered. And this one was rank ordered 2-3. I think it was three.
But
I think it was originally three.
And then I had another one I picked out that was number two.
Right.
But then we did further testing because we tested the top tier ones.
We should talk about our testing procedure.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the, I would call it the plop test. It's your initial impression.
Yep.
It's the first class ass move.
Couch number two ranked number one in the plop test, if I recall. It was my favorite plop.
And the only other test I'm thinking of, we wanted to make sure the cushions were relatively large so we didn't feel like we were crammed, three-person couch. But the only other test I can think of was the turn test. I'm not sure if that's what I called it, but like, let's sit up like this and see if the arms can support our backs as if we were looking at each other.
Like on a show that you could listen to.
Like we'd be doing on the show that someone would listen to it.
Yeah.
So we tried it on the couch, the number two couch, after the number one couch was disqualified for not being able to be purchased. We tried the number two couch and we're like, oh.
Yeah, it was bad.
There's no support. That's not comfortable. Dang. Well, down to number three, and that's what the list is for.
Mm-hmm.
So
the number one couch, it ranked number two or three in the plop test. It ranked number one in overall.
It was better than this one for plopping.
It ranked number one overall, right? And it was number one aesthetically. This one is probably number two or three.
This is the ugliest couch. It's not shit. It's just ugly, which is why I like it.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's in the budget and it's comfortable and it does the things you need to do. So,
yeah.
Including something we didn't need. This has electric reclining, which the top two couches didn't even have this.
No.
Yeah. And recently, because of how the room reorganized, we can now take full advantage of the technology and we can recline all the way, which is pointless for the listening show because we're sitting up on the watching show. We can just totally sprawl out and it's great.
For the listeners that are...
want to listen to the technology?
Yeah, listen to
demonstrate
this.
Demonstrate it.
You listening? Check that out.
Listen to the headrest technology.
Listen to this. Wait, listen. Listen now. Yeah? You like that?
Listen to the lumbar technology.
Check this shit out.
It's actually going to push you. Yeah, there goes your belly.
This bit is weighing on me.
It's funny because I use the lumbar and it just pushes my belly out and it looked like I'm getting fat.
I'll pull it back down.
Yeah.
It was putting my rib cage in a weird way, and I think I was like, "Gonna put it down."
Yeah, going into your lung.
Yeah,
yeah. Fun extra fact: this middle cushion, which doesn't have any electric control, is very comfy. It's a different kind of comfortable than these two side ones.
Yeah, I would say this middle cushion, as far as comfort level, is number two behind number one couch.
Yeah, frankly, number one couch is too bad.
Number one couch was the best couch. It was unfortunately the least good as far as all these. Like, it didn't lay down at all. It was literally just brick,
but the cushions were bigger, which I liked. Like, they were for bigger butts.
Yeah.
I feel like I should clarify, the one the floor wasn't for sale, you were able to order them, but it was 6 months of waiting. We're like, we're not waiting 6 months for a couch, we want one now.
Yep.
So that's why it wasn't an option.
And also, this is an important little detail, this couch is 1 cent more mine than yours.
Yeah. We anticipated this because the price of the couch was odd. And if we wanted to split it, then I thought about that before we went to the store. I was like, when they ask who's going to pay more, because they will, I'd go me. But I wasn't listening when that happened.
Nope. You weren't.
You were on it.
Since we're telling the truth, what they did is they said, hey, whoever has the bigger penis, raise your hand and you get to pay more.
Yeah, they said that. Totally.
Yeah, no, it was just like a funny little, who wants to pay 1 cent more, and I
you just killed your card on the table. It's like, I was ready for this. I thought I was.
Keep telling the truth with this story. You have to go muddle it up with lies. I killed you, and I became the victor and was able to pay one more cent for this couch then. And that was an important little detail.
Wow.
So now let's get to the fun part.
I just realized there's a story about the couch that we're still working toward. I forgot all about all that.
Oh, yeah.
Reminiscing about the couch shopping days. But okay. All right. I'm going to fluff it out a bit more.
Yep. Let's all the fluff.
Looking at being the couch, true fluff. So they offered to deliver it to our home for, what was it, $100, I think?
Something like that.
And we weren't very far away. And I was like, that's convenient. And I can't remember if they offered to carry it up. No, they did not. They did not. Okay. Well, I was using my dad's truck, and I thought it will fit in our truck. I just don't have a strap, so I don't know if it's going to stay. And I was all whining about it. But then I found a strap, and we ended up just putting it in the back of the truck. And so taking it to the house wasn't hard. And I was staring at the couch and thinking, it'll fit. It'll fit upstairs. It'll fit in the doorways. And I guess the answer is technically yes. But other than that, I was wrong.
Yeah, we both were wrong. So basically, this room upstairs. I want you to imagine a home that's laid out like this. Entryway. And then there's a stairway that goes upstairs straight ahead. So that's, good start when you're carrying furniture. Hey, good. We're halfway, and you get all the way upstairs just as a straightaway. However, this room is, as soon as you get upstairs, it's a flip turn 90 degrees and then another 90 degrees all the way at the end.
Yeah,
and then
it's
a turn
behind you to the right.
Right. And then a back. And then you have to turn another 90 degree angle to get it in this room. And in this room, there's a tiny little doorway that even has, like, the doorway extends inside, so it's like a little mini hallway.
It's just narrow, not doorways, but walkways.
It may be the worst place to take a couch in this place, other than the basement.
Other than the basement, yeah, the basement would also be...
But that would be bad because of just down. It's not bad because of... Up. I guess it
and
is.
And then the rail, like if the railing wasn't there, we could have probably maybe gotten it.
So this couch is...
Oh, wait.
What would you say? 400 pounds, maybe?
You think about it.
Maybe 500?
You're not far off.
It is extremely heavy.
It's pretty heavy. It's
both of us, we could move it.
I think 400 together. Is right.
I think together we could move it for maybe 5 seconds before we both were like, I can't do it. I mean, I at least was like, I can't
do it. We're barely off the ground. You know, part of the problem is how awkward it is to hold. That's part of the problem. Like, if we had a nice handle system, we could probably shimmy for like 10 seconds, be like, I'm getting really freaking tired, maybe 15, like, set it down. You know, it's pretty hard.
My body, to give context on how difficult it was to get it in here, it felt like I had been through warfare by the time we were done.
Remember that prequel mention where we both have back injuries?
Yeah.
It comes into play.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's good narrative
congruence. So I remember how happy I was just to get it through the front door. That was rough. I feel like I should, I'll mention it after the fact. So, base of the stairs. Plan is someone's on the bottom, someone's on the top, push and pull. And that actually worked about as well as I had hoped.
It was just really hard, though.
It wasn't easy, but like it worked getting up the stairs. And once we got to the top of the stairs, I was like, that was the hard part. And it should have been the hard part, but it really wasn't.
No.
The hard part ahead was one of these tricky, stupid, narrow hallways or walkways.
Yep.
So, just turning the couch around at the top of the stairs was hard. But of course, the hardest part was right here in this room's doorway.
Right there. I'm looking at there. I'm just...
and there are... And we spent most of the time with the couch there. And there are scars on the doorway to prove it.
Yeah.
It's if you look at it, which I don't care, but if you look at it, it's bad.
We went through all the stages of grief.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that. I was like, we're like at least... I said, we're probably going to go through all the stages of grief because I wish I knew what they were. I wish I could see them written out just so I could verify. Yep, I remember what the couch was like. But anyway.
It was so, because here's how defeating it is. It's like, imagine probably the hardest piece of furniture I've ever moved. I don't know about you as far as just weight and awkwardness combined.
And futility. Like, it's just not working.
And it wasn't working. And then for us to get all that far and then feel like we can't get it 5 feet into the next room. And we, okay, so at one point, so imagine the stairway goes up And then, because I mentioned that it turns all the way around, well, there's a banister that separates the walkway.
You mean the railing? From
the it could be called,
it's like a 3 foot
railing,
tall, gate, fence, guard,
banister, railing, whatever you want to call it. But it's
trying to describe.
It's suspended about 3 feet off the ground to help you with balance suspended, or whatever.
I mean, it's 3 feet. It's to
protect
tall.
People from falling down the stairs.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of was in the way the whole time. And at one point, we just needed to get an angle from behind the stairs. And so I, like, went around to down to the stairs, and I Spider-Man leg crawled up the wall with my back pressed against the wall behind me. And I had, like, my feet suspended across the stairway about 5 feet above the stairs. And I was, like, holding the backside while you were, maneuvering the bottom. And I was, like, kind of pushing it. Anyway,
so my legs were tired. The couch was on the railing, balanced.
Yeah.
The rail. So the rail was right underneath the middle of the couch. It was teeter tottering. And he was standing up on the stairs, balancing and trying to push. And I'm on the other end of it, which is right in the door we're trying to get into. But the problem is, we wanted to move this couch like a Jenga piece.
Yeah.
Like 4, 6, 8 different orientations it could possibly go in. And there's no room to move the couch outside of the doorway. And that was where all the problem was. Just reorienting the couch before trying to get it through the door. And getting it through the door was hard and failed every time. It got stuck. I mean, it was so close at a couple points. It was like an inch. Like this wood on the bottom, it was an inch.
That was the other defeating part. There were so many levels of defeat.
You know,
there's
at least two times where I thought about giving up, at least for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, we're so close.
And we're tired.
We have to make it work. I can't accept the failure because we're like an inch away from getting this couch where it belongs.
We spent multiple evenings going and testing out couches. We spent hundreds of dollars. And then we drove it here with a slight fear of there being rain that would ruin it. There was all kinds of anxiety about just getting it here and getting it inside and getting it up the stairs. And then right there for it, there was an inch.
I remember.
It was, and that happened like two or three different ways where it was like an inch difference, and it's like you have to be gentle with it, but also you have to have enough force to move a 400-500 pound object, and coordinating between two people who have separate entity brains. It was extremely defeating, and at multiple junctures we were like, I do not want to take this couch apart. It would be too hard. There's too many technical things that go involved with that.
Part. So I asked the guy on the sales floor, whoever, said, is this sectional? Does it come apart? And he goes, oh yeah, you can take it apart. And I'm like, I know you can take it apart, but that's not what I was asking. Is it designed to come apart? He goes, well, you see how it's attached? And I was like, yeah, but we don't want to take it apart. We want to just carry this whole thing upstairs.
He said, you probably don't want to take it apart. It'd be difficult, but you could do it.
I wouldn't want to. Yeah, he kind of advised against it.
Yeah, kind of thing.
So, all right, whatever. So we got up here.
First we gave up. We like, all right, tomorrow we'll deal with it. And then we both.
Meanwhile, it's just laying in the hallway and you can't walk to the bedroom because it's just blocking everything.
Exactly. So we were kind of both just sitting there catching our breath for like maybe 15 minutes, kind of defeated. Like, we're really going to quit on this today. Is kind of what I thought. I was like, man, we're really going to not.
We're not taking the couch back.
We couldn't
give up for now. Hit pause. Anyway.
And then finally, I don't remember who said it. Maybe it was me, but just like, maybe we could just take it apart. And you were like, I have this stuff. And it was like,
well, I said, let me take a look.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, I think I know how it comes apart. I have the tools, so I should try it.
Yeah. And then you tried it.
I was up there for a bit. And then you came up and I said, I think this one will just come off.
Yeah.
So 8 bolts, not difficult bolts. I mean, I've taken apart more complicated stuff. 8 bolts later, one of these couches seats just lifted right off. And I was like, I was more happy than annoyed, obviously, but I was also annoyed in my heart because I was like, the whole time we could have done this from the beginning. But for the most part, I was just like, it's going to work. It's going to work.
Can you imagine if we would have just done that, separated it at the car, and then just brought in one piece of
time.
Wow,
we would have had it up in within 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes, like all said and done.
There's no doubt in my mind, but the real endeavor probably ended up taking 2.5 hours, maybe.
It was like a couple hours.
At least.
It sucked. Once the end of it was another half hour, I was dripping sweat. It was gross.
It was disgusting.
Because there was so much wrestling.
There was a lot of smells. There was a lot of damage done. Ironically, none was done to the couch until the next day, which I promptly ruined something. Unfortunately. But anyway, the feeling of getting it in here was just like... That's what it felt like. It was just like, wasn't it, though? It was
I can't lie. I was in work mode. I was just like, let's do this and that. And
I felt like Frodo.
You were pretty happy.
It's done. It's done.
Yes, Mr. Frodo.
Yeah. Well, I think we even said that.
Yeah, so even when I took that, we took that one piece off, it was hard to maneuver that one piece into here. But once we got it into here, we're like, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And then we took the second piece, which was... the two couches and the railing for the third as one piece. And we just shimmied that in there. And then I was like, all right, cool. I just got to put back together and line it up. And and then after we stopped sweating quite so much, we sat down. We're like, yes, right where it belongs.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that was a good moment and we earned it. The next thing that we did is we got light bulbs in here for these guys. Cause we got these tables with lamps. Actually looks like a respectable room as opposed to what it did at the beginning. At the beginning of this, we was just like TV and that's basically it.
It's not bad for a hodgepodge, you know?
No.
Like we bought some stuff specifically for the show, but most of it's just some of my stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it works is the important thing.
It does feel like...
I feel like you have to address what you said you did to the couch after it got in here.
You
said, ironically, no damage was done to the couch.
Until the next day.
Until it wasn't the very next day.
I think it was soon after. It was either the next day or the day after the next day. It was one or 2 days later because I remember thinking, really?
Yeah.
So my family came over and my adorable, handsome nephew came and I was showing him the great features of this couch that it moves up and down and he fell in love with that feature. Now, at the time, these microphones were clamped to that table.
And that table
in front of us.
The table was a bit closer. There wasn't enough room.
Right. And the cords were not managed at that point. And so it had to be close to us so that we could reach the mic stand here. Well, for that reason, whenever we'd pull these up, we would not pull them up all the way because these could potentially go to the bottom
of the couch that reclined
where the clamp
up, they could collide into the table.
Right, into the bottom of the table. But there is also a clamp with a lever, metal lever, that allows for leverage to twist the clamp and tighten it to the table. And when I wasn't looking, my nephew raised it all the way up into the point I saw the table start lifting up underneath it. And it probably would have been fine, except for I panicked because I saw the clamp start going in there. And so in trying to save the couch from damage, I pulled the table off of it and it went, and it tore on the clamp bottom.
It tore on the couch.
Yeah, I don't know if I've told you exactly what happened with that, but it was like, it would be easy for me to say that it was my nephew's fault for pulling it all the way up, but it was my fault for reacting too harshly. I could have probably just been like, all right, let's just put it down, and we could have put it down, and it would have like lowered it down. But me trying to save it ruined it, yeah. And I feel very sad about it. Thankfully, it is on my side, so I get to deal with my own...
That and I don't know. If it was on my side, I wouldn't care very much. Like, I don't see it.
I don't care much either.
The part I was concerned about is like, because you told me that you ripped the couch or the couch got ripped. I was like, is it a big, like, you know, it's small. Is it something, this is my concern, is it something that's going to rip and get bigger over time? And you're like, oh no, it's way down the bottom. And I looked, like, okay, yeah, it's not. It's an isolated thing. It's not going to just start ripping over time. That's what I was worried about because that happened to my bed sheets.
Really? Yeah, it did. It's one of those things in life, you know, I've gotten used to having new things ruined really quickly. That happened in my car too, where I just was like spilling coffee. Like the first month I had it in the passenger seat, it was like awesome, you know? I think that's a theme with, if I get a nice thing in my life, I have to ruin a little bit of it right away.
I can remember, I think, when I would dread damage to like a new motorcycle, but now it's my most recent new motorcycle, two of them. The first bit of damage I saw, I was like, eh, oh well. Like, I'm okay with it now for the most part. It's been a while, I guess. The moral story is buy enough new things to where you don't appreciate them anymore.
Well, I guess I kind of feel good that I don't care as much anymore, because kind of just devaluing stuff has been useful. If I would like fret over like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I care about the orderliness, the care of my stuff, but I don't care about like, I don't know. I was going to say petty things, but that's subjective, isn't it? What's petty about your stuff? Stuff in itself could be petty. I don't know.
It is.
An example is like, what's an example? You can, like, I keep my car clean, but there's no reason to, like, wash your car, wash your bikes, really. There's no reason to. It works fine if it has dust on it. So I'm the kind of person who will clean my stuff, even though I don't think it really matters. So I have a certain level of care I give to my stuff.
Yeah.
Does that example make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But some people think that it matters, whereas I'm in the middle where I don't think it matters, but I'll take care of it.
Yeah. I generally only do the care. I only care for the things that I don't mind doing.
Yeah.
So I will neglect a lot of things. But I'm trying to not do that so much. But it's not... it's kind of a blessing and curse, the whole not caring about stuff thing, because I feel like if I did care about my stuff more, maybe I'd do a better job of maintaining it, you know?
But then you'd have the burden of caring.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Burden of caring. Boy, that's profound.
Something more profound. I think Jordan Peterson put it this way, the burden of being. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
I felt that. Yeah. That's a phrase I actually like. I don't say abide by, but like I
don't know embody. That's Jordan's term. I think that sounds right, more Jungian.
Maybe it wasn't his, but burden of being, that idea, I get it, and I'm for it. I don't know how it
sounds like
it.
A Nietzsche or Carl Jung thing. I don't know which one, but burden of being.
The odds of it being either one of those two are high because I quote them all the time.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Absurd. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the story about our couch. It took like half an hour to tell it because it was a tall tale.
Yeah, you kind of lied about a lot of stuff, like the fact that, you know, there wasn't a gunfight.
Yeah, and I also lied about the part when she said, whoever has a huge penis needs to spend the extra pay, because I thought she said whoever has a tiny penis. That's why I didn't do it.
Well, I don't blame you then.
I would have understood if you had just said,
you're like, I thought she said tiny penis, and I'm like, oh, then you're good, you know. You didn't have to win that one. Nah, I don't know. Have you ever had something like somebody else ruin something of yours and you were just like, to deal with that? That's
so funny how like as soon as you said that, it just boom in my mind. Apparently I'm traumatized by it.
What was it?
Apparently it's important.
What is it?
I can't remember how old I was. I couldn't have been 9 yet. Every year for my birthday, I would get a styrofoam airplane. They're like 3 feet wide, you know, if you remember those. And I went to a school field playground to throw mine around, and there was a kid there who I was playing with, I guess, and he grabbed it and he was gonna throw it toward the fence. I'm like, don't throw it toward the fence. And he threw it toward the fence, and it went over the fence and it went right underneath the car as it went by and crushed it, and I was crying. I was so sad.
That is sad.
As a grown 9-year-old would be. I can't remember how old I was. I just must have been at least 6.
It's like a stranger kid,
and there's nothing to be done. It's broken and he's not going to replace it.
Did he apologize?
I don't remember. I think he felt bad, but I didn't care because I specifically told him, don't throw it towards the fence. Throw it towards, because I was worried in a car. And I love those planes and I never got another one. So I got robbed of... Anyway, the moral of the story is you said, try something nice of yours. Like, yeah, there was this kid, but I remembered it right away. I don't know why. So apparently that's important. If I go to counseling, I'll make sure I mention that just in case.
there's no crossed wires still. Just misfiring.
Yeah, it all started when...
Yeah. They're like, I'm just imagining like a regular counseling session where you're talking about like some problems you have.
Wait. Yet, it has nothing to do with anything. So it's like I'm having a court hearing for a speeding ticket. Yes, Your Honor, but I think the court should be aware when I was 9.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was going to say like your therapist, you're laying there and you're like, man, I'm having these problems at work.
I have dreams at night.
Well, you say unrelated things. Yeah. Like you just talk, maybe you have a problem with alcoholism and you're like, man, I can't go a day without drinking. And then the therapist goes, yeah, right. Okay. Were there any... Maybe some issues in your childhood, maybe involving styrofoam.
Yeah, how do you feel about styrofoam planes out of nowhere? Right. Says.
And then you're like, and it's like, triggered. You just like, I was trying to make it as long of a.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry, I ruined it because I saw it coming, but I mean, yeah, I ruined it. So did anyone destroy or ruin something nice of yours?
Yeah.
Example.
I had a kid put cheese in my Nintendo 64. Yeah, but it didn't really. Does. It still worked. I just had a lot of cleaning of cheese to do.
Okay, well,
I remember his face. I actually laughed when it happened, but then I realized, oh no, maybe it won't work, and it didn't work for a while.
Oh no!
So I remember we had slices of cheese, and we were making our sandwiches. Like, hey Zach, watch this, and he goes. And he just like put a slice in the little cartridge
card slot
hold, yeah. And it made me. I was like, And then I was like, no, don't do that. And he thought it was okay because I laughed. Yeah. And then it wasn't.
And then it wasn't.
No, I've had a lot. People break a lot of my stuff,
as one does.
Yeah,
people do.
I got this brand new Frisbee one time and someone threw it in the street. That's what I thought of when you said that. I was like, someone did that with mine too. They just threw it straight into the street.
Did it get destroyed?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It made a cool popping sound. Have you ever heard a Frisbee get popped underneath the car?
I can imagine it. It's like a whip.
It sounded like a gunshot. People jumped. And I was like, of course. It was literally have you seen the Vine? What the fuck, Richard?
It sounds familiar.
There's a vine where there's a kid and he's playing Frisbee golf and he goes, and he tries this huge throw, but he misses and goes straight into the highway. And you hear, what the fuck, Richard? Mm. And it's really funny. People say that a lot now. But I remember that guy's name was similar to Richard. I don't know if it was or not, but I was like, man. Anyway. And I had a date over one time. At my house, and we were drinking, and she shattered two of my glasses in one night. Mm. And I remember thinking in my head, because like
the
one. Well, she shattered the first one, and then she shattered mine. Ugh. And I remember thinking in my head when she shattered the first one, I had this joke prepared, right? And I've told you about this, but if someone spills a drink in my house and it's not a big deal, I'll be like, to make them feel better, I'll spill mine too on purpose. My grandma gave me that idea with something she did. So I had this like chambered idea because she shattered one of my glasses that I'd just go, okay, and shatter my own glass. And I remember thinking, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to clean up two glasses though. And I have an even number now because I had shattered one of mine before. I've now lost four glasses. Anyway, so for many reasons, I didn't do that. But then later she did it. And like, I was like, dang it, I could have done it.
Yeah,
you
that
know?
Sucks.
I know, and I think about that a lot. That was the most disappointing part about losing two glasses.
Yeah, a wasted joke.
I know.
That sucks. Well, in the future, you know, some girl like backs, you're with some girl and she says bye and she puts her car in gear, but it goes in reverse and it crashes in the wall. You go, oh, well, crash yours in the car.
Yeah.
In the wall.
Yeah.
I would make her though. I mean, that's the same principle as the water. Imagine how hilarious that'd be.
That'd be pretty funny.
Pretty freaking hilarious. Crash his car as a joke.
I'm actually picturing like ha 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 and then you do it by accident.
Well, that's not the same.
It's not
joke.
The same. It's
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is what we're doing now. It's the joke. And you just do it.
This is another level. She does that. Oop. She's like, oh. And I go, you think that's funny? It's like a three level whammy. Like, what? No,
I was thinking that she does like a little fender bender, and then you go, and you peel out into traffic and cause a pileup. It's not funny, but. You feel better now? It's just like, oh, I did that to make you feel better. And there's people like, my leg. Oh.
My leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. You do. You escalate it. You do a big wreck.
That's just a good joke. And the point is. All right.
You see, she fender benders. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Don't be. You just drive off a cliff and you don't hear anything for a long time.
For those not watching, he pantomimed just driving off a cliff.
Yeah.
Don't be
embarrassed.
Yeah.
Nah. What was that sound? No. I just did this weird.
I heard it.
I'm trying to breathe is what I'm trying to do.
Listen to it.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't think, I like questions where I don't think anyone's ever asked it, but it's not like it's a crazy question. The question is, has anyone ever damaged something nice of yours? Like,
oh, I have another
kind
one.
Of a specific question that I've never been asked before. So I like
really?
It.
Yeah. That's good.
I like questions like that make you think that you hadn't thought of before, but
yeah.
I don't know.
One time I was at Chuck E. Cheese for my sixth birthday party, or it was either my sixth or my seventh or eighth. I can't remember, and I got my first lightsaber for my birthday, and it was a green one. And I always wanted a green lightsaber because of Qui-Gon Jinn. Okay.
Okay. I'll allow it.
And then I had hit my sister with it, like kind of fake. I was kind of playing around like, And she's like, stop, stop. And she's doing like things a sister would do if you were even slightly perturbing them. And they were like, stop bugging your sister. And if you hit her again, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm thinking, I didn't even hit her. I just did this. And I touched it to her because that's what I had been doing. And I remember this lightsaber that I'd opened up like 2 minutes prior. My dad yanked out of my hand and busted it in half and threw it in the trash. And I was so upset. I didn't even want to do anything. I didn't do anything at Chuck E. Cheese after that. All my friends were playing and I just like laid there. I was just like crying and like trying to not cry because everybody was there.
Crying and trying to not cry.
I was like, I was crying.
That's funny because I can imagine that's a thing.
I was just like breathing heavily and sniffing a lot and my eyes are just very wet and red.
And then after he throws in the trash, he goes, the dark side is a pathway to many abilities considered to be unnatural.
I was so upset. I'm still like to this day, the biggest, like there's like two or three moments in my life that I felt as though my parent did something unjust. And that was one of them. I remember thinking, I don't think I did anything wrong there. He just lost his patience quick.
It's a fun question. Can you think of a time when one of your parents, like your dad, you know how if he yells at you, it's like really yells.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
You think of a time when he yelled at someone else's kids that deserved it. And you're like, you felt like embarrassed.
No, my dad wouldn't
but
yell.
But also like good about it.
Wait, your dad would?
Yeah. Your dad yelling to.
No.
Like that shouldn't happen. But one time it did happen.
Really?
And I was like, that's what you get. I mean, like I was in some school group. The parents were all driving kids and the kids would swap cars between the parents to hang out with their friends as we're driving along, like a car, like several cars together in a convoy. And one of these stops, us kids go to the bathroom and a couple of the guys were like climbing on top of the stalls. I was like, stop doing that. This is a potty break. So the parents are out waiting for us and they'll climb on the stalls, whatever. And I think one of them broke or something. But the point is they shouldn't be doing it. I say, guys, don't do that. And I was like worried, like, we're going to get in trouble. I wasn't doing anything. I was just watching that. Like, guys don't do it. And then eventually dad comes in wondering where we are. And he just like, he didn't flip out, but he did not hold back. He made them feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, a shock. Then also like, kind of like
what are you guys doing?
Kind of like, yeah.
Nice.
It's louder than that. Like, get off of the stalls. You know better than that. Or something like that. I was like, wow.
Dad.
But it's like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's right. That's a tricky thing, disciplining other people's kids.
Yeah, you want to hear a story about that?
Sure, sure.
So I was at somewhere in public. I think I was actually at the Great Oak Mall or whatever it was called.
Not so great mall. Great Plains Mall.
Great Plains Mall. Thank you. The Great Oak Mall. I'm thinking Great Mall mixed with the Maple. Oak Park Mall.
Yeah. That's
great Great Oak Mall. Anyway, it was at this old great mall Oak. That got destroyed because it sucked. And this was so long ago that it was pretty new. I was like,
sucked.
This is another time I was like 7 or 8, and they used to have like these little play areas where there was like shapes and stuff that you and people could jump over and play games and run around. And a lot of kids would play there. And I remember I was just minding my business. I was kind of like riding like one of those, I don't know. I was like sitting on one of those like stuffed things that was just kind of cool to sit on.
I remember those. Yeah. I was never on them.
But they were like fruits.
But they were like little weird animals and like little climby things. Not quite swing sets or slides, but whatever.
In this case, they were fruits. They were like giant stuffed fruits that you can climb and jump on and stuff. Well, I'm just minding my business. And this big bearded man, he like runs up to me and goes, "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" And he's just like screaming at me. And I froze because this big man like stomping towards me. He's like, "Think you can do that to my kid? Blah, blah, blah. Where's your parents? Blah, blah." He's like screaming at me and he grabs my shoulders. And I remember my mom said, "Hey, what's the problem?" He's like, "Your kid, blah, blah." And I don't even remember what I got accused of. But I saw like kind of in my panic, I like was like very eye locked with him. But then I glanced over at this kid who was like standing there watching, and he was very like blood left his face, like scared. And I remember he just kept yelling and yelling, and I just completely zoned out. And my mom was like, "Don't grab my kid." She was defending me. And I was like, "Mom's here, thank goodness." But even she was scared, and he was like yelling. He had the big anger problem. And then finally the kid comes over and he goes, "Dad, that wasn't him." And my dad, then the dad just like looks, "What are you talking about? You said it was him." And he was, "He didn't do it." And he like looked at me and he like flip turned at me. He was like, "I'm so sorry." He was like touching and petting me in this weird way. And I just was like mad at him. Yeah. I was like, "Get away from me." Yeah. I wanted to say that, but I didn't know how to say that as a 7-year-old kid.
Traumatized child.
Now, whenever I hear parents like people are instructing kids, like tell people to like, you know, tell kids like know your body autonomy. I'm like, yeah, because I wish I would have known then. I could yell at this guy and say, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me." Because he was grabbing me hard. I remember I was my shoulder hurt. He like yanked it out of place. It kind of felt like, and I remember that scared me big time. And it was all because this kid either lied and said that I did something I didn't, or
I wonder.
I don't know. He said like I hit him or something. I don't know. But I think that dad got like a lot of talking to though by the security guard though. I think the security guard came over and my mom's like, "It's fine." And she was just like, "Let's go home." And like we left. I don't remember though. I wonder if she remembers that. Maybe she can clear it up for me. But
I'd be surprised if she didn't, unless there are so many occasions between you and your siblings that you got yelled at. Like, it seems kind of specific.
He didn't do, like, what he did wrong was grabbed me, but he didn't, like, he wasn't trying to hurt me. He was just upset. He thought that I hit his kid.
Yeah, it's one thing to yell, right? Like, that's, even then I'm like, but like grabbing, you can't do that.
Right. No.
Sorry.
No.
You can't just grab other kids.
And you know my mom, she's like all nice, and so she was nice about it at first, but I remember it's like, "What is the problem?" Like, I remember her being kind of stern, but she's always nice. And I don't think I've ever seen her like that a couple times, like maybe once or twice total, but I don't remember exactly what happened or if it was even that big of a deal. What I remember feeling is scared and being touched, like grabbed. I know I said that in a weird way.
Yeah. Hey, don't touch my kid.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's like, hey.
Random places, like little.
He's like,
being touched.
Yeah.
Don't do that. What you gonna do about it?
No, he screamed at me. Like, everybody was frozen, kind of watching, and especially me, because my heart just like stopped. I think I had an asthma attack later that day. It was like my body was like,
I remember, I'm just sort of spouting random shit. I remember my first day ever doing anything at a gym. before I had any concept of. I'm sorry.
Oh, duh. Dude.
My nose isn't.
I gotta turn away from the mic or something.
So it was my first. I must have been like 16. Yeah, that sounds about right. And I went to the gym to try a free training session, and the trainer was saying, "Do this, do that." I was like, "Wow, good job!" And I was like, "Oh, I'm doing a great job." I go, "Yeah, I'm doing all the moves that he's saying to do, like all these reps and all these moves and stuff. I've never done these things before." Not that this is really important, but I know now that that's the bait session. Trainers will, you know, praise you up. I felt really good about myself until I was like, I need to go to the bathroom really quick. So I kind of just walked toward the bathroom. So embarrassing for me, but I was like, walked out to the bathroom. I was like, I'm feeling not good. I don't know how I'm feeling, but I'm feeling not good. I just need to get away. And he said, I need to go to the bathroom really quick. So I was walking halfway to there, and then my vision went black. Before I went black, I just got down on my knees so I don't fall over. I was like, I just got on my knees. And my eyes were wide open, but I could not see. And I was like, I just need to stay right here.
You blacked out.
Halfway blacked out. So I was there, and then for I don't know how long, no one came to me because apparently I was fine. And I got up, went to the bathroom, and I kind of just was very slow. Like, that was really scary. Jeez. So I went back, and I was like, so I'm like, I don't know if I said it nicely or not, but I was like, I'm not going to do anymore. I'm done. But when I went home, I remember laying in bed all day, and I felt awful. It was so strange. My body felt so heavy. I was laying in my bag, and I was just like, oh, I'm so heavy. And I'm just all day, just like passing out, and I was so heavy. And I was like, damn. And now I understand more that, yeah, just because you can physically do something doesn't mean you should. I don't exercise. I worked out hard compared to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I could do it, but I didn't realize I was, anyway. So wow. Then I thought, wow, I can't exercise. I can't do it. I'm not. No, that's not how it works. You can't just go 100% day one. Can't. No. Anyway, so, but yeah, that was a weird specific thing that happened. I just kind of halfway blacked out in public.
That's scary.
Oh, yeah, the end.
Wow. When I was in football, we used to work, we worked out for 3.5 hours every day, sometimes 4.5 hours.
Good.
It was every day except for, I think, Sunday.
We didn't.
I think it was just Sunday. And
you
I went
just Sunday you didn't? Not yeah, just Sunday.
I think,
yeah.
I think it was Sunday we didn't. And it was every day. So we would go down to this field, and it was super hot. And I remember the first time we did it, how hurt I was at the end of it. But then you get used to it, right? And so I got used to just giving 110% effort after a month or so of this. And I remembered one day, I just remember feeling kind of off that day. But I was like, oh, I'm moving around fine. I'm in good shape. I'm whatever. And I went to practice, and I worked for 2 hours. And I remember just having this feeling of, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I know that feeling. Oh, right. No.
And I just it was so weird because I didn't have a gut problem that day. Just was off. I felt, oh no. And then I threw up, and then I fell on the ground, and I was still wide awake, but I didn't quite black out, but I just my body just gave up.
Yep.
It was so strange. And I remember I stood up, and they're like, you okay? And I'm like, I feel fine. And I still felt okay. My body just gave up. Mm-hmm. I've never had that happen other than that. And they were like, how about you cool it for the rest of today? And what had happened is I had dehydrated myself the day before, and then I didn't do anything to remedy that the next day. It was just my body, my muscles were so used to just going that they kept going, and I was completely dehydrated.
For some reason, I just kept on going.
Yeah, but I've been dehydrated before, and you normally get a huge headache, and
yeah,
it's terrible. But that particular time, I think I was just, the blood was going, it was going to my head, but nowhere else. It was very strange. I don't know how it worked, but it was just dead. And it was barfing was weird because normally when you're throwing up.
Yeah.
But in this case, I felt like I was breathing out, and then just my innards came outered.
Yeah.
They came outered. Anyway. And then I threw up again later, and it was great because then but it wasn't great at the time because that was before I didn't like working out. And so I was like, man, I wanted to work out and stuff. I was having fun. Yeah. boy, that was probably the weirdest of those sick moments. Sick moment.
Dude, that's sick.
It was.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there's I think the only other time I got passed out or knocked out was when I fell off the bunk bed and busted my skull open. Do you know about that
story very recently?
Did I?
Yeah.
Was it on the watching show or the listening show? I'm trying to remember is
why you would have. I think actually you told someone downstairs in the main room last week.
Oh yeah,
I think that's when it was. But like a week ago, you told that story. Not as remarkable. But I slept on top of a bunk bed as well. Oh, my nose. And did you ever have those guardrails on your bunk bed? Yeah, those annoyed me because you kept rolling into them. And so we took them off eventually. Like, oh, this is so much better. I can hang my leg off the edge. One night, for some reason, while I was sleeping, I fell off because I woke up mid-fall. I remember specifically. I was like, there's the floor.
Oh, gosh.
But I landed on... It was an awesome toy, but it was about 2.5 feet long and a foot wide and a foot tall. So it was like a trailer truck thing. I fell on it on my side, and that really hurt. And I whined and had mom or dad come in and make me feel better before I went to bed. I hurt, but this is the age when you want attention for the pain. Yeah. I was pretty little. I was probably 6 or 5.
That's still me.
I mean, yeah.
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 See, not a remarkable story, but waking up mid-fall is something.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Speaking of which, a couple of my favorite things that ever happened. One thing that happened twice. Favorite sleep experience ever. I don't think everybody's experienced this, but I'm certain more people have. Blinking, and it's morning. Like a perfectly conscious, there's the room, blink. It's the daytime, just teleport to the future. You ever had that?
Yep, one time.
Twice that happened. I only remember one time, but I know there was two times. And wow, I was just fascinated. I wanted to replicate it, and I never could. How many times did it happen to you? Just once?
One time.
Well, I'm a lucky bastard then, because it happened twice. And I was, I couldn't have been 10 yet. I certainly couldn't have been 11. So I was younger than 11. How old were you when it happened to you?
I want to say 16.
Really? I was going to say that can't happen as an older person because your body has too much crap going on.
Yeah.
I would think. But as a kid, you can sleep pretty hard, I think, because you're healthy relatively, typically, the younger you are because of, well, less toxins in your body is what I'm thinking. But also, that's when you're healthiest, you got more to go. But 16, do you remember any details about it? Because it wasn't that long ago then.
No, and that wasn't my best night of sleep, though. I can tell you about my best night of sleep.
All right. What was your best night of sleep?
It was, I want to say, 4 months ago. And I think I told some friends about this because it was so profound to me. So basically what happened is I was exhausted. I was working all weekend for some reason, and I had Monday off. I don't remember what day this was, but so Sunday during the day, I worked and did stuff all day. And then at like 7 or 8 p.m., I went to bed and I passed out like right away. And I woke up at like midnight, like 1 in the morning. And I was wide awake. And well, I was
that
like,
that sounds familiar.
Whoa, this is crazy. Well, I don't have to work tomorrow anyway, so I'll just stay up for a bit. And I was up and I was just felt amazing from midnight to about 4 in the morning or so. And then I was like, you know, I'm kind of tired. I think I'll sleep again. And I slept from 4 to 8, and I woke up at 8, and I felt the same way. Amazing. And I was so profound, and like, it's so outstanding in my mind how good it was, despite it being weirdly interrupted, that I looked it up. And I read all this research about how human beings might be designed to have 2 4-hour sleep days. And they were talking about how, because in the middle of the night, they'd have to keep fires warm, historic times or whatever. And so they'd wake up and be awake during some part of the night. And then they go back to bed for a little bit too. And apparently that's what some people are designed to do. It's like something to do with high testosterone count or something. I don't know. But apparently some people have adopted that sleep schedule, like 8 to midnight, awake from midnight to 4, 4 to 8, call it good. Because you only need 8 hours, and that's 2 4-hour slots. You're apparently, part of the study was that your
REM
circadian
cycles.
Rhythm, your circadian rhythm, it basically resets every 4 hours to where you're at your most awake in sleep after your deepest sleep after a 2 hour period. That's why when you have a 2 hour nap, you feel just like crap. But if you like, if you sleep for 4 hours, you wake up, that's like one full cycle of sleep. And so separating it out into two perfect cycles is better than like a full cycle and staying asleep, but sleeping through it and then another cycle and waking up. I don't know. That's some theory. There's a bunch of theories about it, but it was so good to me that if I ever get the blessing of not having a day job where I have to be up and, you know,
you get to have a bit more time to experiment and try. Yeah,
I will definitely try it again because it was so good. It was so good. I just can't. It's indescribable how good it was. I felt like I was on good feeling drugs.
I remember what my best night of sleep was. What I was saying was my favorite sleep experience, I think is what I said.
Sure.
But sleep is the way you want. Sleep, feel rested and all that. I always wake up to pee at least twice.
You do? Mm-hmm. Still?
Mm-hmm. Which is disappointing.
That is.
So I don't know what it is, but not important. Anyway, one night I slept. Not only did I not wake up, I felt awake the second I opened my eyes. But not like, but just like, I'm awake. It was just the strangest thing because usually you're at least a little groggy, but nothing. It was 8 hours out, woke up, I'm awake. No, and that sounds super simple, mm-hmm. which is why I don't want to say the word is profound, but I think it's kind of what you mean to me. It was so significant. It was significant to me. And
that's exactly what it was like both times for me. It was like 4 hours, wake up, I'm up and I feel amazing.
Yeah.
Then went back to sleep. Ah, feels good to sleep. If that's how it felt. And then I woke up. Holy cow, it worked again. I'm up again. It feels amazing.
Yeah.
It was like.
But it's profound or significant in that you would probably do not most anything. You would go through great lengths to replicate it.
I would do anything to replicate
it. Right. That's what we mean by it.
There might have been. I don't actually remember specifically if there are external forces or anything that night, if there are any substances involved or whatever. But.
For me, there wasn't. I just had recently kind of gotten more healthy at the time. That's all I did was diet and exercise at the time. I remember the room I woke up in and everything because it was so significant. I was probably 26, so a few years ago.
Yeah. It's remarkable is what it is. Like a good night of sleep where it's good from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had a dream the other day. For the first time in a while, I've had dreams, but I never remembered them. And I remembered this one. I told you about it already. We don't have to talk about it, but it involved a beheading and I was very upset. I was like, why couldn't that be the one I remembered? But yeah, well, this one was more, it was like half couches and half.
I was like, yeah, it was like half couch and the rest of it was random crap.
I don't know that we can
consolidate. Like everything else in this room. This room is half couch, half random crap.
Yeah, that's what we can call this episode. Half couch, half crap.
I like it because it just is enticing enough.
Yeah.
But it's also true, of course. Sure. Yeah. Half couch, half crap. Like, okay, what's this?
That sounds like another podcast.
It does. It sounds like a podcast name. A show. Welcome to Half Couch, Half Crap. I'm Walter. This is our other
where we sit on one half a couch.
This is the couch. We're the crap. Like,
hey, yeah.
What was yours gonna be?
I didn't think it all the way through.
Oh.
I was gonna say where we sit on half a couch and shit on the rest. I don't know. Something about crap. Anything else you want to say to anybody?
Never again.
Okay.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the listening show because this is the very last one of all time. You'll never listen to us again. Until next time.
Yeah. Whatever. Hey,
I already had a perfect outro. Now we gotta fumble around. What?
Well, I guess nothing. to say something so that this
you always interrupt me for the end of the end of the episode.
I won't do it this time. Oh, I was
totally expecting you to do it.
No, I won't do it. Say whatever you want.
I think it's a trap.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Get your foot away from the record button.
Okay. Say something good.
Pass.